Welcome to our final Grow prayer chat with Olivia and Heather Reid, who is our speaker for next year. God willing, we look forward to fixing our eyes on Jesus together again at Grow 2021, Saturday, August 7th.
Thanks for tuning in to our fourth prayer chat, this time focused on Hebrews 4 and how to pray in the midst of trials. Joining me today is Heather Reid. Hello, Heather.
Hi, Olivia.
Now, for our other chats, we have focused on local Brisbane woman. But Heather, you are an Australian, but you are currently living overseas.
Yes, we're living in Singapore at the moment, but I've lived a bit of a gypsy life. I was born in Australia, but I grew up in Papua New Guinea and the United Kingdom. And then I returned to Australia for uni and met my husband, Andrew, there. And together we've lived in Sydney, Perth and Melbourne, not in Brisbane.
You're but now we all the fun.
But now we live here in Singapore, and we moved here to help set up the Evangelical Theological College of Asia. And that's a new theological college which has a practical focus on biblical theology and preaching. I teach there in Hebrew and Old Testament alongside my husband. He's the principal of the college. He teaches, lectures OT with me, and also lectures principles of interpretation and biblical theology. So we love living in Singapore, but I tell you what, I've been grieving the current travel limitations. I was sad to miss out on joining you at Grow this year, and I look forward to Grow 2021.
Yes, it has been disappointing, and it's been disappointing not to be able to have a Grow conference this year, but I have enjoyed doing these chats and listening to the others. And as you said, you were meant to be our speaker, but now we have the privilege of hearing from you next year for Grow 2021, God willing. So that is why we thought we would ask you to do this chat, so we can get to know you a little bit better, yeah, in preparation for next year. Now, your adult children and extended family still live in Australia, so not only have you missed out on speaking at Grow, but more importantly, you have missed out on seeing all of them, haven't you?
Yeah, it's actually been hard being so far away from them. We've got two married sons and six grandkids, and they're all living in Australia. So eldest son Joel is a science maths teacher, and he's relatively safe. They live in Broome in Western Australia. So he's got two kids, a girl and a boy. But our other son, Dan, he's a nurse who's married to a Singaporean, but they're living in one of the COVID hotspots in Melbourne. They have four kids and, three boys and a girl.
Yeah, and but at the moment they're safe, they're doing well.
Well, they're in lockdown. Yeah, so they had to work out with how to exercise because they're only meant to go with two people, and
there's
they
six
said,
of them.
What do we do, leave kids at home or an hour a day with two people? Anyway, they got permission to take three children or two children each.
Yep.
Anyway. It's actually quite hard being so far from family. Mm. And I must admit each morning when I wake, I pray that God would keep them safe. I have other friends and family in Victoria. And it's quite a worry at times. Mm. It's been a hard year.
Yeah, it is hard, isn't it? But now, thankfully, our God is not restricted and he hears our prayers. And now when I was talking with you earlier, you said that Hebrews 4 reminded you of your conversion. So can you explain that a bit for us, please?
In a way, it reminded me of my conversion, whole conversion experience. I was about nine. I was a very rebellious girl. My husband says he's glad he wasn't my parent. I was always ready to test my boundaries. I always wanted to try out new things. It's not that I meant to be naughty. I was just an explorer. I mean, I still am, but I just wanted to experience new things. So, for instance, I remember sneaking down the back of the schoolyard when I was about 7 to see what smoking was like. So one of my friends had pinched a cigarette from her dad and we thought it would be an adventure to try it out. Well, I vomited. It made me sick. And in many ways that experience was good. It guarded me in my 10 years from trying out smoking again, because people thought it would look cool to smoke, but I knew that being sick doesn't look cool. So I decided not to try it out.
That was your one and only cigarette?
That's my one and only cigarette at the age of 7. I also enjoyed the thrill of shoplifting. I was never caught, but I do remember shoplifting a gift for my baby sister's birthday. I was on the way home from youth group. It's quite ironic, really, isn't it? So it's like a youth thing. It was like it was primary school, but it was a youth thing. But I was devastated when she preferred all the other gifts over mine. I mean, I'd gone through so much to get it. but despite these adventures in rebellion, I always yearned to be good. I wanted to be the sort of person my parents wanted me to be, the sort of person that their God expected me to be. And although I tried and tried, I just always failed. I think the rebellious roots of Eve run deep. So, in fact, my Hebrew name that I use in my Hebrew classes is Chava, which is Eve in Hebrew. And part of what I chose it for is, I think, in memory of my pre-conversion years. So I still remember the night of my conversion. It was an outreach put on by some local churches, and I just remember that aha moment, that moment when I finally grasped the peace of knowing that because of what Jesus had done, I didn't need to try to be good. Jesus' death and his resurrection had done it all. That time when I knew that when God looked at me, he saw Christ. He didn't see the rags of my rebellion. He saw the purity of Christ. And that was the first time in my life that I rested from my failed works and rested on Christ. And that's the day I took Christ's yoke upon me and began learning from him. My mum's comment, she said, "I left the house an angry and rebellious girl and came home a changed person." I'd found rest for my soul.
Praise God. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Heather. I always love hearing people's stories of how they come to know Jesus as their Saviour and to see how God can change our life and that other people can see those changes. And God offers us rest from our striving to do good, rest for our soul. And that's the link with Hebrews 4, isn't it? True rest that only God can offer.
Yes, it's spiritual rest. So I think rest for the soul is just a wonderful thing. So you can imagine what it was like for me to look at this great passage in Hebrews 4 and to pray through it. As Kathy mentioned in the last podcast, this passage actually mentions the word rest 10 times. But in verse 7, it warns against hardening your heart because there's no rest for those with a hardened heart. But in verse 12, the writer then brings hope because he talks about God's word being living and active. He talks about God's word judging our hearts, surgically correcting its flaws, cutting deep to change the way we live. And the thing which struck me most was the transition that's marked by the different words, the words lettuce. So it's used quite a few times. If you look at verse 1, it says, "Let us hear, lest any should fail to reach rest." And then in verse 11, "Let us strive to enter that rest." And verse 12, "Let's hold fast to our confession." And then it climaxes in verse 16 with, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. And this was my journey to rest, I think, a journey from fear of failure and fear of pain, a journey through striving, a journey holding fast to my confession of Christ as Lord. And it's culminated, I think, in my confidence in my relationship with him. I actually think that's every Christian's journey to rest. I don't think it's just me. Relationship with God doesn't just provide confidence, because the rest that is on offer with Christ provides, it's not only rest from work or from striving, actively working to please God. It provides mercy and grace in time of need. And God's love is extended to us when we're sinners, when we're weak and when we're needy. And too often when we pray, we're just too correct. We feel that if we tell God how we're really feeling, we'll rank amongst those who have hardened their hearts in disobedience.
Yeah. That's so true, isn't it? And we sometimes feel as Christians we have to be joyful and happy all the time, and that's how we have to pray. But that's not the case. You know, God created us with other emotions too, and we can be honest with him. We actually need to be honest with him.
Yeah. The last section of this chapter really undercuts that fear that honesty will destroy our relationship with God. Because if you look at verses 14 and 15, they talk about Jesus. And they call him our great high priest. But more than that, they say he was tempted as we are. And this tells us it's possible to be tempted without sin, because this is exactly what happened to Jesus. And I don't think Jesus' temptation was just isolated to the temptation in the wilderness. I mean, that was a temptation. But to me, it's clear that he was tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane as well, because he was fearful of what lay ahead, and he pleaded with his Father God to remove the cup. He was in agony. I mean, Luke 22 describes sweat pouring off him like great drops of blood. He was doing a spiritual marathon. He was facing like a spiritual crisis. But he said, and this always gets to me, not my will, but yours be done. So he was tempted, and when he was tempted, he took his pain and anguish to his heavenly Father, and then he laid it out before him. He trusted that his Father had his best interests at heart, and the best interests of humanity as well. And Philippians 2, another great passage, describes this as Jesus being obedient to death, even death on a cross. And this is the most shameful and horrendous death known to humankind at that time. This year it's been quite a difficult year for me, as I imagine for many others. It's been a year of pain and anguish. Some of that's the result of COVID, and some just the result of life in general. But in the midst of this pain, I've known God's mercy and grace promised in Hebrews 4:16.
Mm, it's so good, isn't it, that, yeah, God offers us that mercy and grace. So how would you help others who are in pain and suffering to know how to pray in the midst of their trials? Often we might think, oh, I can't pray, you feel God's far away. But how can we pray honestly to God? Yeah. Like Jesus prayed honestly. He was struggling, so we need to pray like that too.
Yeah. I think, that's the point. So the first thing I would point people to when they're in pain is the knowledge that Jesus, who is our mediator with God, understands pain and suffering from the inside out. He knows the worst of what we're going through. And we can follow his example. as he cried out to God, as he sweated great drops that were, you know, Luke says are like blood. So we can call out to God because God knows us and he and our situation, and he hears our cries. There's a wonderful passage in Exodus that I just love. It's in Exodus 2:23-25. And I want you to listen, and as you, I'll read it out, and as you listen, think about what it tells us about our God. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery, and they cried out for help. And their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. So the people cried out in their pain and suffering. They cried out in anguish. I mean, slavery, it's worse than we've got. And what did God do? He heard. And when it says heard, it means he listened. Heard carries the implication of action. And when he heard, he remembered. And remembered is not just, oh, yes, I'd forgotten. It carries the implication of action. And God saw. And he knew. Now we live on the other side of the cross. But God's the same. He's still a God who hears. He's still a God who remembers, and he's still a God who sees, and he's still a God who knows and understands.
Amen to that. To think that the creator of the universe is a personal God who knows, who cares about me, who understands and who sees me, it still blows my mind.
It's amazing, isn't it? The other thing that I find amazing about this particular passage is, guess what comes immediately after it in the very next chapter? So what comes after it is God commissions Moses as a rescuer of the people. Now, imagine what that means for us, because the Israelites had Moses. I mean, as we've looked at Hebrews, this is what's been coming up. The comparison between Moses, who is a great man and a servant of God, and Jesus, God's son, who's our rescuer. He's not a flawed man like Moses. You know, Moses didn't want to go. He went, but he sinned on the journey. But Jesus was a man who was tempted and didn't sin. So Jesus understands temptation and pain, and he offers not just rescue from suffering, but he offers mercy and grace and rest. I love, again, the words of Jesus from Matthew 11:28-30. These are very familiar to us, but I just don't know if we take them as seriously as we should. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy labour, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, this year I've often felt heavy laden. I don't know about you.
Yep.
I can't imagine anyone in the world not feeling heavy laden. But in Jesus I've found rest. And not necessarily physical rest, because life goes on, but spiritual rest. Rest for my soul. A couple of weeks ago in church, we sang a wonderful old hymn based on Psalm 46:10. Listen to these words. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain, leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. He's a great and He's a sovereign God. He's a God who hears when we call to Him. He's a God who remembers His promises and who keeps them. But more than that, He's a God who sees beyond the surface to our very souls, and He's a God who knows us and our situation. He's a God who understands, and a God who acts, and He acts to save.
So true, and it's just amazing to think of the wonderful God we serve. Psalm 46:10 is one of my favourite verses. You know, be still and know that I am God. I actually have that stuck on my bathroom mirror, and it's a great reminder to me that I need each and every day. And again, at night when I clean my teeth, you know, I see that verse and just be still. But yeah, I might have to look up that song. Sounds a good one. It's so comforting to know that we can cry out to God. And as you have shared, there are many instances in the Bible where the Israelites and Jesus himself cry out to God. Life is tough and we all have difficulties, but we can bring all these to God. And because of Jesus, our Saviour and Mediator, God hears our prayers. And as Hebrews tells us, and you reminded us, our Rescuer Jesus is superior. He is all we need. And as it says in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest, talking about Jesus, who is unable to empathise with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Now, Jesus, God the Son, came to earth as a man and understands our grief and our pain, our temptations, everything. And he offers us mercy and grace and rest. This is such an important truth that we need to remind ourselves of and others when they are going through pain and suffering. Now, it's not just our Christian friends or ourselves that have trials, is it?
The world.
I said I'll often talk to school mums at pickup. Well, I used to, because at the moment we're not allowed on campus. But I'll chat with the school mums, and you know, they share with me their struggles, and I will offer to pray for them. And many of them say yes, and some even say, yes, please pray for me right then and there. And that can be a scary thing as to how to pray for a non-Christian in amidst their trials. So can you offer us any suggestions how we might pray with a non-Christian who is suffering?
Well, I think the first thing I'd do when talking with a non-Christian is ask permission to pray. Although some people reject the idea of sin and or object strongly to the presumption that there is a God, it's interesting that when they're confronted with things outside their control, most people welcome the thought of someone intervening with them for a higher power. So I've had non-Christians say to me, can you talk to the man upstairs for me?
Yeah, I don't think I've had anyone say no. Some people don't want me to pray with them right then and there, and I'll say I'll pray for them when I get home or whatever, but no one's actually turned me down and said, you know, don't pray. Yeah.
Just an aside, people say that, for instance, when a woman has a child, most of us, we just want to thank someone. Mm. As Christians, we thank God. Often non-Christians thank the obstetrician. And I think that we just need to thank someone because it's such a miracle. And I think that in pain, it's the same thing. In anguish, it's the same thing. In joy and in pain, we need to thank. So if they're okay with me praying, I'd begin with the familiar, and that's their pain. So I'd probably start by praying and acknowledging it. And then once I'd prayed acknowledging their pain, I'd pray acknowledging that God is sovereign, that he knows and he understands their pain. And from there, I'd move on to ask this sovereign God, this God of all comfort, to provide comfort in the midst of their pain. I'd ask the God who loves his creation so much that he sent his son to rescue them, to listen to their cries. I'd ask the God who sees beyond the surface into our very hearts to reach into their hearts and give them his peace. And I'd ask God to act in the situation in a way that supports them and those they love. Essentially, what I'm doing is praying the gospel into their pain. But instead of preaching, I'd use the ideas from Exodus 2, 23 to 25. So I'm appealing to the sovereign God who hears, remembers, sees and knows. The God who acted by sending Jesus, his son, to rescue us and to give us peace. I'd ask this God to give them peace and to bring them into his rest.
I love that idea. I've never thought about actually praying the gospel before. I don't think I've ever, you know, with a non-Christian, thanked God for sending his son to rescue us. But it's such a good way to get the gospel across without being pushy or preaching. It's scary and comforting that God knows our thoughts, but it means we can come to him honestly in prayer. But when we do cry out to God, it's not in hopelessness. And as I love what you said just before, that God knows us and our situation. He hears, he remembers, he sees, he understands, and he acts. He sent Jesus to rescue us, and he still acts today. And we can come to him, and we can have that rest. Now, what a God. And we can share these truths with those we are praying with who are also suffering. Thanks, Heather. It's just been a wonderful time chatting with you and getting to know you. So would you pray for us now in the midst of our trials?
I'd love to, Olivia. Let's pray to our God. Lord, we are so tired, so worn out by the challenges of this difficult year. We're exhausted from fear and pain. Every day brings bad news. We hear of the COVID crisis around the world and we fear for the health of loved ones who live in places where COVID infections are growing. We fear for friends and relatives in Victoria, for the growing numbers in New South Wales, in New Zealand and beyond. We fear for jobs lost and for those facing financial ruin. And we yearn for the day when this will all be over, when the breath of a friend will no longer be a threat, when death no longer stalks the unprotected and vulnerable in our land. Lord, we yearn for the easing of restrictions, for the opening of borders within our country and the world, for the freedom to work and to travel once more, and the freedom to meet with people that we love. It feels like every day builds insecurity and change. Every day seems to strip us of our confidence in the future. Every day seems to bring new pain, new challenge, and we yearn for a break. We yearn for rest from the responsibilities and fears that life brings. We yearn for more than physical rest. We yearn for spiritual rest, for security with you. Thank you that you know us inside and out. Thank you that you know our fears and our pains, our insecurity and exhaustion. And we praise you that you are a God who speaks. Thank you that in your written word you convict us and guide us, and that in Jesus, your living word, you rescue, comfort and support us. Thank you that although you're a sovereign God, a creator God, you care for us. Thank you that you sent your son, Jesus, as your great high priest to mediate between us and you, and to bring us back into relationship with the God of the whole earth. And we thank you that in giving us Jesus, your son, you gave him to us as a man, a man who understands all that it means to be human, a man who understands temptation, a man who understands what it means to be tempted, not to trust in the goodness of you, our Father God. Thank you that despite the temptation to doubt, Jesus trusted and obeyed. And thank you that because of his obedience, we're able to approach you, the sovereign God of the world, with boldness. And we're able to receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. We thank you for Hebrews 4 and the assurance that it brings, that rest from the weary work of our lives remains for those who trust in you. We pray that you would give us confidence in you. We trust the fragility of our lives to you. Thank you for the words of Jesus in Matthew 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank you for the reassurance of Revelation 14:13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They will rest from their labors. We thank you for hope in the present and a sure and certain hope for eternity. We pray that you'd help us to remember that we're not alone. Help us to remember that rest is to be found in trusting your promises. Help us not to be like the Israelites who doubted the goodness of you, who trusted in their own fears. They wandered and died without comfort of your rest. Help us instead to embrace the freedom you offer so freely and to rest in the knowledge of your mercy and grace. Help us to hear your word and to obey it. Help us to believe in your Son, Jesus, and to trust his work for us on the cross. And help us to give up our useless anxiety and striving and to rest, comforted in the knowledge of your eternal rest. As we live our lives in the midst of weariness and challenge, give us the wisdom to see our lives as you see them, from an eternal perspective. As the writer of Hebrews reminds us in chapter 12, let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We praise you that Jesus lived his life with his eyes fixed on the joy that lay before him, and this enabled him to endure pain greater than we face and shame beyond measure. And he did this so that we could join him in his heavenly kingdom before the throne of God. And so we thank you that because of Christ, we're not alone in the midst of life's trials. And we pray that you would give us faith and obedience to follow him and learn from him. And we pray that you would comfort our weary souls and teach us to rest in you. Amen.
Thanks for that, Heather. And yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing you share God's word with us at Grow 2021.
I'm looking forward to it too. Hopefully 2021 will be a better year.
Hopefully.
You've been listening to our final Grow prayer chat. Don't forget to tune in to the final song and book chat. And remember to save the date for Grow 2021, Saturday, August 7th. Remember to share this episode with others and subscribe and leave us a review in your favourite podcast app.